Who's had a good day? Yeah, there's a few people that have had a good day. Fantastic. Take a seat if you like. We're going to have some house lights on, and I've come to bring the word. Come to bring a short little 15-minute message, and I hope you all enjoy. I might just move this down a little bit. Is that all right? That shift sign is just right at my eye level. This feels a bit better down here. Feels a bit more intimate. You guys fine with that? Fantastic. Wasn't the band great tonight? Who thought the band did a good job tonight? Can I give a round of applause to the band? They come in here week in, week out, morning and night. Well, a few different faces each morning and night, but a lot of them are the same. And I admire the way you guys just go about serving each week and playing the songs you do and leading us in worship. It's fantastic. I feel so blessed to have you guys leading us every single week. It's fantastic. As you heard last week, if you were here last week, if you weren't here last week, you didn't hear it last week, but Mario shared a message saying, prepare to shift, because that was the title of his message. His message was about preparing to move, while the message that I want to bring tonight is starting to move, because that's the idea of Shift October. Shift October is about moving from one place and stepping into something else. The topic that I want to start on tonight is shift your focus and shift your perspective. Because you can never step into the new thing that God has for you if you are too caught up in the things, the old things that you're still stuck in. And that's just a fact. If you're caught up in the things that are everyday life and caught up in just the old thing, you'll never be able to step into the new. So I want to talk about shifting your focus and shifting your perspective. You see, because the old thing isn't always a bad thing. The old thing can be a good thing, but God has a better thing for you. God wants you to... You know, like Dave was sharing just before, you may feel like you're in the pit, or you might be in the prison, you might be in the house, or you might even be in the palace for all I know. But I know that God has better things to come. So that's why it's always good to not be just settle with what you have, but always step into something new and step into something fresh. In Mark 2:22 it says, "And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the wine would burst the wineskins. And the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wineskins." Like I was saying, when God wants to do something new, when you want to do something new, you have to get rid of the old sometimes. Because if you try to fill the old up with the new, you might just ruin it. And we don't want to ruin it. Because what I want to talk about tonight is shifting your perspective and shifting your focus. For us to step up into what God has for us next, we have to remove the old and remove the old mindset and remove the old things so that we can grab onto the fresh and new thing that God has for us. And I know for a fact that God's got some awesome things for us as a church, especially looking up in the Derwent Valley and there's a couple of the young lads from up there who were there at Friday Night Youth and have decided to come down with Brian tonight. Welcome. Come on, give them a welcome. Round of applause. Jeez. Yeah. I just wanted to make you feel awkward, so you'll love me. They'll like... You know, pay me back at youth next week, I bet. But no, it's great to see you guys come down. I hope you have fun. But like I was saying, there's great new things going up there. We're going to be starting up a service up there in November. We're praying about for pastors and to start the service up there. We've seen a new life group starting up. Hopefully in the future, the youth center's going great and the youth group's going pretty good too. It's all happening up there. I know that God's got new things in store for here in Belrive as well, because I come on Belrive mornings and just see this place packed and just everyone just excited and just such a great atmosphere. So it's exciting to see what God's got for us next. But if everyone wants to repeat with me, can everyone say shift focus? Because that's where it starts. You've got to shift your focus to step into the new thing. I read a quote a while back, and I actually have this quote on my wall in one of my, up at Glenora, one of the schools that I'm the chaplain at. And it says, "If you view yourself insignificant, you will live an insignificant life. But if you view yourself significant, you'll live a significant life." And, you know, because I believe how you view yourself, it's a big deal, how you view yourself. Because how you view yourself will determine how you live. And when you view yourself through the eyes of God and allow this to change the way you see yourself, allow it to change the convictions and beliefs that you have in your heart, it will change you, but also change the way you treat others and change the world around you. In John 6, this is a great story. There's this young lad this young boy, he's got two fish and a bunch of loaves. He's been sitting on a hill, and he's heard Jesus been speaking and doing miracles and bits and pieces with about another 5,000 people there. And you know, it's got to the end of the day, everyone's hungry, and the boy doesn't know this, but Jesus turns to his disciples and says to them, "We've got to feed these guys." And the boy, I'm guessing the disciples went around and tried to see what they had, what the people had, so they could, you know, use that to try to feed everyone. And one of them must have stumbled across the boy. But the boy was willing to give up this little thing that he had and put it into God's hands and believe that a miracle could happen with it. Because, you know, like, this boy, he would have had an imagination. Boys have imaginations, and I love that. You know, boys have dreams, they have visions. Yeah, so do girls, that's true. But boys have imaginations. And I'm sticking with the boy in this one because it doesn't say a little girl had two fish and two loaves. I'm sure there's probably another one where that happened. But young people have visions and dreams. And this kid probably thought, you know, if I give this to Jesus, he could probably do something pretty awesome with it, because, you know, he'd probably heard all the stories of Jesus going around and healing and doing all these amazing sort of things, and just thought, you know, if I release this little thing, which he couldn't really keep anyway, he could have ate it. Or if he tried to hold onto it, probably 4 days later, it would have stunk pretty bad. So he couldn't hold onto it. He couldn't keep this, but he gave it up and put it into God's hands. And he had a willingness to believe that maybe God could do something extraordinary with it. While on the other hand, the disciples, you know, the way that they viewed things, they were sort of freaking out. This is the exact same story, but from the disciples' perspective, they couldn't see how they could feed all these people. They were freaking out. They didn't know how they could do it, because they'd shifted their focus from what could be, and they knew that Jesus could do miracles, to just knowing that they only had a small amount of stuff and having this small little mindset. Yeah. So I want to encourage you, like I said, it all starts, if you view what you have as insignificant, it will always be insignificant. While if you view it through the eyes of God, and God sees everything significant, he sees you significant, you might feel like you're in the, you know, in the pit, you might feel like you're in the prison, but you are significant, because God can do amazing things with you if you just put it into his hands. You see, because at the end of that story, Jesus took what the little kid had. He blessed it, broke it, and fed a lot of people. See, the fact of the matter is, God loves us. He cares for us. He wants the best for you. He wants the best for me. He wants us to grow. He wants you to grow. He wants us to live by faith, and to love him in turn. He doesn't want us to be stuck in that pit. He doesn't want us to be stuck in that prison. He wants us to look to him for help, and wants us to engage him and say, "God, be a part of my life. Get involved." So he doesn't want us stuck in those places, and God wants to be a part of it. Sometimes he'll give us peace in a situation that says you should be stressed and freaked out of your mind. Sometimes he gives you strength to be able to persevere through a situation that, you know, you wouldn't be able to persevere through otherwise. Sometimes he pulls a miracle out of left field and feeds 5,000 people. Now, God does it different every time, but when we shift our focus and shift our perspective and give it into God's hands, that's when the miracles can happen, and that's when we receive these things. You see, the reality is we're made in his image, and we're made for relationship with him. We were made wonderfully knitted by his hands. We were made with a purpose in mind. And we're made that no matter how far we drift, no matter how far we find ourselves from God, that he is so generous in his love and grace that he has open arms for us just to walk straight back in and say, "God, I messed up. I come with all my shift. And I just drop it at your feet. Help me." And when you live this as reality, when you live and view yourself through these eyes, like I said, it will change your convictions, and it will shift the way you live in turn. I was in Townsville recently, and while I was up there, I went to this church called Calvary Christian Church, and the pastor there, his name was Pastor James McPherson. Heard him preach a couple of awesome messages, but I got back and found that I had one of his books at home. I'd never realized that. Well, I knew I had this book, but I didn't realize that he wrote it. And it was actually a book that Mel gave me to read for youth once. It's called The Accidental Youth Leader. And it is brilliant. Seriously, it's one of the, if you're ever doing stuff in youth or helping with kids, this book will just blow you away. But one of the things I love that he said in it said, you can't separate what you believe with what you do. Because, you know, it's impossible. Because how you view and what you view life as and what your beliefs and convictions are, you know, sorry, I just, how you view yourself determines your convictions and beliefs, which will then determine how you live. Because like you said, you can't separate what you believe of what you do. Because if you believe that, you know, you're not worth it, you're not that good, you can't do much, that's going to outflow into everything you do. It's going to outflow into your work habit. It's going to outflow into your school life. It's going to outwork into your relationships. But if you view yourself and think, you know, God loves me so much. He was so generous of me. And now I have this freedom to live like Christ did, live in a generous, in a loving, in a caring, compassionate sort of way. That will then outflow into your relationships, into your work, and into every part of your life. What are we shifting for? Like I said, as humans, as people, we need to always be getting into something new. Because if you leave the old wine in the old wineskin, you know, and just keep on pouring it into those wineskins, it's going to end up bursting. That's why you've always got to get something new. You've got to get the new wine. You've got to get new skin. We're always, you know, some things remain the same. Like Dave was saying, you know, God always loves us. That's just a reality. And we've got to get that in our mindset. But we've got to change our perspective on things. We've got to change how we do things and you know, be willing to grow and adapt to it. Because that's when God grows us for the next season, grows us to the next big thing and the other things that happen. Hey, everyone, how you doing? Come and grab a seat. Oh, you getting some seats? Thanks, Jen. Fantastic. You see, for some of us, the new thing is you know, breaking out of those old habits and old mindsets and shifting into the new mindset that God has for us. The new mindset is that is God loves me so much and I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. For others, it's, you know, turning back to Jesus. Like some of us have never done it. But I encourage you to do it because it's the start of the greatest relationship, start of the greatest life you can ever do. And for others, you know, you may have felt you've plateaued. You may feel like you're revving like that you know, awesome-looking Dodge car up on the screen before, and you're just revving and revving and revving, and you want to go take off somewhere. And I want to encourage you, if you hang around here long enough, if you get connected into this church, if you get connected into this vision, you're going to see God move in your life in mighty ways. I've seen it in mine. I never thought I'd be a chaplain at my age, doing that 5 days a week, starting up youth centers, helping out at youth groups, standing in front of all you guys and sharing what I'm sharing now. But, you know, God did something in me, and just being here and staying along for the ride, you know, God put me on the road, put me on the right path, put me in the place where I could step up into the next place that He had for me. So let me encourage you, if you haven't got a church home, make this your church home. Get connected into the vision. Get connected in with some awesome people around here, and let's get on and shift into the next season. See, when we shift our focus, when we see ourselves through how God sees us, and allow it to shape our convictions, like I said, we can do anything. My final thoughts, if the band wants to join me, is from Philippians 4:10-14. If you have a Bible, feel free to turn to it. I love this. This is a verse that if you've been in church, you'd know this one quite well. It says, "How I praise the Lord that you were concerned about me again." This is Paul writing to the Philippians, and then he says, "I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or with an empty one, with plenty or with little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Then it goes to verse 19 and it says, "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from His glorious riches, which has been given to us through Christ Jesus." And that just gives me hope, eh? I just love those verses. And I love it. It says, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, according to His glorious riches." And it all stems from, you know, before that, Paul said, I have learned, I know. He had to learn how to be content. He had to learn how to trust. He had to learn how to receive with little and receive with lots, to go through periods that were stressful and hard and receive God's strength, to go through stressful situations and receive God's peace. He learned these things. It didn't just happen overnight. That's why I encourage you to get on board. Come along each Sunday night over shift. Get connected here and get on board, because then you will learn, you'll know. And over time, you'll be able to say that same things. I can do all things because Christ gives me strength. Because life's a journey. God designed us. He desires us to learn, to trust in Him through the good and the bad. So that at the end of the road, we can be like Paul and say, I've run the good race. And we can look back at our lives and see how through us shifting the way we saw things, allowing ourselves to see the way God sees, we were able to see ourselves significant, and we were able to live our life in the light of knowing just how much He loves us and just how much He gave for us, allowing this to shape our convictions and beliefs, which will in turn allow us to live that significant life, changing the world around us and changing the lives of others around us, making us able to persevere and rejoice regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstance. Because our hope is secured in a God who loves us. And let me encourage you, if, like David was saying, if you're in the pit or if you're in the prison, you know, God is a scripture in Jeremiah, and at Impact Conference, there was a speaker named Alan Davies, who's an amazing man, but he was saying, you know, God's like a potter. He shapes us, and we're like His clay. And every time that we stuff up and fail, instead of God throwing away the clay, God picks up that same clay and remolds it, reshapes it. You're never done. You're never, you know, no matter how far you stuff up, no matter how many times you muck up, God can use you, the same piece, in His loving and caring hands to shape a masterpiece. You know, He's not a blacksmith. He doesn't make a mistake and throw you away. He wants to take you in His loving hands and shape you and shape your life into all that He's called into your life. And He's called each and every one of us to live great lives. You know, not on the scale of all being prime ministers and presidents and, you know, AFL footy players, but lives that, you know, mean something to someone, that change the lives of the people around us. So let me encourage you to shift your focus, to shift your perspective to the reality that God loves you, and allow that to stem and flow into everything that you do. Without any further ado, I think I might let the band play a short song. So, thank you.